Rave Radio. Gary K's Almost Daily Rants and Raves.
The Week.
The Women in AV Wavecast.
Green AV.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Joel Rollins, and this is The Week on Rave Radio. Thanks for stopping by to join us. After the news today, we're going to be having a talk with Nelson Baumgratz. He's an AV veteran and Infocom Educator of the Year, and he's in Medellin, Colombia, preparing to teach at the Infocom Show for Latin America, and we're going to talk with him about the show and about the Latin American market in general. Anyway, we're going to do that in a few minutes. In the meantime, let me remind you that The Week is brought to you by Hypersign, who make a really, really innovative product line for digital signage. You can find out more about Hypersign at www.hypersign.com. The Week is also brought to you by Atlas Sound, who make a huge variety of audio product to fill the needs of our industry. And you can find out more about them at www.atlassound.com. Listen, though, while you're here on Rave Radio, take a listen to our other podcasts, like the Green AV Podcast, the Wavecast from Women in AV, and Gary K's Almost Daily Rants and Raves. Also, now you can listen to AV Insider with Johnny Moda. It's a great new program. Check it out. You can find them all at www.ravepubs.com and on iTunes. Here on The Week, we're going to try to address the most important items that we see in AV news for the week and bring you a range of guests to talk about subjects that are important to our industry. And so, let's go on with what's going on this week in the world of AV. First of all, SMPTE, the Society of Motion Picture and Television Engineers, announced that the SMPTE 2013 Annual Technical Conference and Exhibition concluded successfully on the 24th with record attendance following a series of presentations, debates, panel discussions, and technology exhibitions. If you've not been to a SMPTE event, you really should. I've always considered them technically probably the best backed association in the industry. Anyway, more than 2,000 people attended the technical conference, which drew world-renowned technology thought leaders from a range of industry segments. The sold-out exhibition hall featured displays and demonstrations from leading technology and solution providers, and further information you can find about SMPTE is available at www.smpte.org. That's S-M-P-T-E.org. Again, I think SMPTE is well worth checking out. We don't talk enough about the people who are behind video technology in our industry. Okay, well, this is a really good one. In an industry first, the smartphone market is larger than the entire consumer electronics market, and that comes from Rave CEO Gary Kay. In a dramatic sign of how consumer tastes have shifted to new, more exciting wireless products, global factory revenue for smartphones and tablets this year will rise to become larger than revenue for the entire consumer electronics market, including televisions, audio equipment, cameras and camcorders, video game consoles, and home appliances. The massive CE market historically has dwarfed the tablet and smartphone segment, with CE 30% larger just last year. Anyway, check out Gary's article at www.ravepubs.com for an in-depth discussion of this trend and its serious implications for our industry. Okay, also, Matrox Graphics has announced the immediate availability of a new upgraded version of the Matrox Mura control for iPad, optimized to run on iOS 7. It's a free remote control application for the Matrox Mura MPX-powered video walls, and it offers an easy way to navigate between existing layouts and generate new ones. New functionality includes the ability to select and display layouts created with the Matrox Mura Control 2 for Windows video wall management software. It's available for free on the App Store. To test out the advanced features of Matrox Mura Control 2 for Windows, download the 21-day trial version from Matrox's website at www.matrox.com/graphics. Here's a good industry announcement. Revo Labs has named Randy Lee as its Director of Strategic and Channel Marketing. He brings over 20 years of industry experience to Revo Labs. Lee is tasked with product marketing and management, strategic marketing, and business development, as well as managing product introductions and launches. Revo Labs is a premier provider of wireless audio solutions, enterprise collaboration, and professional audio applications across a really wide range of markets. The company is headquartered in Sudbury, Mass., and can be reached at www.revolabs.com. I used to live in Wellesley. We had jokes about Sudbury. But Revo Labs is great. I've worked with them quite a bit. Also, Stampede Presentation Products has announced the appointment of John Marcolini to the president to the position of Vice President of Product Management. Mr. Marcolini brings 18 years of telecommunications and software experience to his new position at Stampede. Amherst, New York-based Stampede is the leading distributor of presentation equipment, including LCD DLP projectors and flat panel displays, per their press release. Stampede annually produces the Big Book of AV, an 816-page catalog and companion website at www.bigbookofav.com, and it has product details on more than 5,000 SKUs. For more information on Stampede, you can visit www.stampedeglobal.com. Martin Audio has announced the appointment of Michael Cologne as Western Regional Sales Manager for North America. Cologne, a respected industry veteran with a highly successful track record in audio, who first began his affiliation with Martin Audio in 1998 when his company MC Marketing represented the brand in Southern California and Southern Nevada. Martin Audio pioneered the use of all horn-loaded bass designs in world-class touring loudspeaker systems for groups such as Pink Floyd, ELP, Emerson, Lake & Palmer, and Supertramp. They're located outside of London, and they now have a sophisticated mix of acoustic design, research, mathematical modeling, and software engineering for a wide range of products in the installation, cinema, and touring sound markets. For more about Martin Audio, please click to www.martinaudio.com. Just a personal note on that one. If you had been chosen by Pink Floyd and Emerson, Lake & Palmer, would you bother mentioning Supertramp? Just saying. Anyway, you can find out more about this and other news as it breaks at www.ravepubs.com. Now, let's go on with our interview for the week. You're going to join us in mid-conversation as I talk to Nelson Baumgratz from Infocom's show in Medellin, Colombia.
Tell me a little about the Infocom show there. How big is it?
Okay, the Infocom shows in Latin America, they follow a different scheme or different setup than the American ones or maybe the other ones in other parts of the world. They are based on distributors more than on manufacturers.
Sure.
So it's easier because if there's a distributor here in Colombia that handles 6, 7, 8, whatever, 10 different brands, it's easier for this distributor to have a huge stand and then have all those brands represented. And that's one of the reasons for the success of these shows that happen in Mexico and in Colombia. Next year, we'll have Brazil also for the first time. So those shows have been growing consistently since they've started 3 years ago. They started here in Medellin, and then next year, they went also to Mexico City. Infocom handles the educational part of it. And the audio organization is done by a company called Latin Press, which is a publishing house based in Miami that belongs to an American-Colombian guy, Mr. Max Jaramillo. And they publish lots of magazines about buildings, automation, AV. They have a magazine called AVI Latino America, which is almost the only one publication in Spanish for the AV world, and they are Infocom media partner. So that's how the show works. They Latin Press sells the spaces and coordinates all the organization, and Infocom puts its brand and takes care of all education. And they are a huge success. Here, it's a two-day show. In Mexico City, it is already a three-day show. In Brazil, it will be a three-day show also. And they have partnered with a Brazilian company in order to develop things there. the growth rate is around 40% or more each year. So it started really small, but Mexico City was a huge success. I think they had more than 3,000 people visiting. And all the spaces for next year were almost all of them booked during the show in Mexico in August, last August. So it's going steadily. We hope it develops very well. In Brazil, it is a very special thing because Brazilians have been longing for an Infocom show there for many, many years. And the main advantage of having these regional shows is that now companies can send their employees for training, for visit the show, for talking with engineers and manufacturers and doing network. So it's working very well.
Well, I think
we are glad with that.
You know, in talking to you over the last couple of years, you know, one of the things I think is that the Latin American, South American market is probably the most mysterious market to those of us here in the United States. I mean, I think you are in the middle of the only continent besides Antarctica that I have never worked on. And so, you know, how would you, and I know that that Infocom has leaned on you heavily with regard to how they adapted education to that market, and that was one of the reasons that you were educated every year. How would you say, I mean, in that you know more about the United States market than we would know about the Latin American market, how would you compare them?
Well, American market adheres to standards, to best practices much more than in Latin America. And also business practices are more strict in the US than in other parts of Latin America. There's a huge lack of knowledge also. So guys know how to assemble a projector and a screen, but they don't have a clue about inverse square law or maybe the difference in screen gain or things like that, or even if how does a DLP or an LCD projector work?
You know,
they know to connect things.
You're describing, yes. I've been doing this about 30 years now, and you are describing the way the United States market in audiovisual was about 20 years ago. We there were no standards, and one of the things that happened is Infocom evolved as to start with as a U.S. organization, the National Audiovisual Association, mm-hmm. and started establishing standards. And I've watched that grow over the last 20 years. Until you're right, we now have, or we're on the edge of having, an industry that has much more definition than it used to. And, you know, there are now people who grew up in the audiovisual industry. Well, I couldn't grow up in the audiovisual industry because as it is now, it didn't exist then. So, you know, we had to be part of putting one together. And, you know, I've talked to you a lot about education, and that's a lot of what you do. One of the other things I can see that must be different about working there is you travel internationally probably more than any of the rest of us do because you cross national borders, you know, I watch you every week, every day. Mm-hmm. What's it like? Does that inhibit the growth of the market in Latin America? Are the national borders a problem when it comes to the development of the industry?
Yes, because well, you know, Sony has launched the new PS4, PlayStation 4. How does it cost in the U.S.? How much does it cost there?
You know, I don't know because I've never bought one, but a matter of a few hundred dollars.
Yes, $800, okay? We are paying $2,000 here.
Wow.
Can you imagine that? It's cheaper to take a plane, go to Miami, okay, buy a PlayStation there, stay in a hotel for one night, come back to Brazil, still have money in your pocket with the same $2,000 that you're supposed to buy it on the store. So this overprotection, this huge taxes and everything, that's an enormous problem.
Is counterfeit product a problem in South America the way it is in, say, Asia?
Well, for some kinds of product, it is. Not for pro AV, because there's no way of counterfeiting those. I don't think it's worthy, maybe. And so we don't find a fake Extron equipment. I've never seen that, and I don't think we're going to see that. Counterfeiting is, you can find this in watches and players, video players or DVD players and things like that, but not on Pro AV equipment. The problem with Pro AV are the huge taxes imposed, because there's a perverted thing about those taxes. It's not fair in the sense that when you buy something, you have to apply an import tax, okay? So now your product does not cost 100%. It costs 160%, for instance, 1.6. Then, on top of this 1.6, you have to pay IRS, you have to pay social taxes, but you don't calculate them all together. You multiply the first one, and then on the result, you apply the next tax.
Just
and
like
then
Canada.
On the result, I've never known that Canada did like that.
Yeah, they have provincial taxes, and then the federal taxes are applied on top of the provincial taxes.
Yes, yes. So it's not fair, man, because you're taxing a tax and not a product itself. But I assume that the margins or the tax values in Canada are not so overwhelming, absurd as they are in Brazil.
Oh, no, not at that level. I mean, when I left yes. there, they were running 15%.
Oh, okay, that's nothing. does not let the Canadians hear us, but usually I say a product that costs $1 in the U.S. will be costing at the store $3. It's a 3-to-1, more or less. And the margins for the reseller is still low. That's the problem. Because if you could think, oh, no, that's a huge, they're making huge profits and things like that, and they're not doing profits. We say that in Brazil, every company has a major partner. It's called the government. Okay? So if you want to run legal, and now it's very difficult to be illegal in this country, because we have one of the most advanced automation and data crossing systems from the federal department that takes care of taxes. So you don't even write invoices manually anymore on paper. You do all that in the computer, direct on the website of the federal department. So in the instant you fill a final invoice to your customer, they already know how much you have to pay, and they will be expecting that money to be in their account in that many days.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
It's amazing.
It's still a paperwork process. At the end of the quarter, you fill out a report and send it in with a check.
No, we've got rid of all paperwork. We have digital certificates. You buy for $150 a digital certificate. So you can install that certificate in the computer, and then you access the website, and then you do everything there and send an email to your customer, so he or she doesn't receive an invoice in paper. Receive an email and say, there's a link for your nota fiscal, as we call it. You click it and you see it there. And then you can print it, and there's a checksum validation number there and things like that. It's all our bank system is integrated with the revenue system and with the government. Every move you do that's over $5,000 is reported to the government. If you withdraw money, or if you deposit or transfer money on excess of $5,000, they know immediately from where and to where it got. It's 10.
It's
okay.
10, yeah. But still, they movement larger than that, it does get reported electronically, but your reporting system sounds a great deal more advanced. What are the hot product markets now in Latin America? I mean, here we're having an explosion in digital signage and telemedicine. What's going on there at this point?
Well, digital signage is growing. One thing that happens in digital signage is that you have the major manufacturers dealing with the market directly. So if you go to airports, you see lots of video walls LG, for instance, and there's a huge LG logo on the bottom of the ensemble. And probably it didn't cost anything to the airport because LG said, okay, let's make a deal. Let's sign an agreement for 2 years. I'll put my monitors there. You put your system, your software, whatever, and let me have my brand there for 2 years.
Sure.
So they make an unfair competition with integrators. In the pro market, well, audio is a market that is increasing also. It's been always a huge market in Brazil. We have one of the largest buyers for Meyer Sound in Brazil. Probably it's the best. It's the largest buyer in South America or Latin America for Meyer Sound. They even block the manufacturer line of production for a month or two just to produce equipment for them. It's called Gabi Sound. Yeah, they are huge.
And
they
what do they
huge.
Do? They're touring?
Yeah, they do touring. They do rental for all the major artists and bands and things like that. All the top events, they are the suppliers.
That's, you know, it's interesting because, you know, I've been in the rental part of the business most of my career. And the one thing I do find is that while sales have different procedures and different products in different parts of the world, shows are shows, you know, and that I find, you know, one of the great parts about it is that I've been all over the world to do shows and work with crews all over the world, and rental guys are rental guys wherever you go. They may speak a different language, but they do the same thing.
Yeah, that's more or less like that.
Yeah. What are the growing cities or the fastest growing country areas in Latin America now?
Well, I would say Colombia. It's amazing how Colombia has grown in the past 5 years and it's still growing because Colombia get rid of all the terrorism thing and things like that. And there's also advertisements, government advertisements that say you are running a huge risk coming to Colombia, the risk of falling in love with the country. Because it has wonderful beaches and forests and things. So tourism is increasing, but also business is increasing in Colombia. And you have many very serious companies in Colombia. They are Infocom members and they try to do the best as they can to train their people. So I would say Colombia and Colombia and Brazil probably, and also Mexico. These are the countries where I've seen more activity.
Well, I'm looking forward to getting down there one of these days and teaching a class with you.
Oh, it would be great.
That would be wonderful. Anyway, Nelson, thanks so much for talking to us about this today.
Okay, it's a pleasure.
And that's all we have time for the week. But join us again next episode here on The Week on Rave Radio. And don't forget, there's lots more to listen to in all our other podcasts on Rave Radio. Check them all out at www.ravepubs.com and on iTunes. And thanks once again to our sponsors, Hyperside and Atlas Sound, for helping us bring you this show. Check out great stuff at www.hypersign.com and www.atlassound.com. And thanks once again for listening to Rave Radio. I'm Joel Rollins, wishing you a great week ahead.